Happy Juju, how are you? What are you doing? Why are you not picking up my phone?
Well, David Chumi, I'm just scrolling through my phone, going through my WhatsApp, my Facebook, and all that.
Serious, what's the time now?
Wait, it's almost 1800 hours! Mm. I need to tune into Eagle FM! Business Economic Segment is about to play now!
Yes, listen to Business and Economic Segment with David Shombe from 1800 hours to 1900 hours when we talk about business, economics, trade, and current affairs. Do not miss out if you want to learn and move forward with economic advancement.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Business and Economic Segment with me, David Shombe. And it's that time of the evening that we discuss bread and butter. We are greeting you from your number one favorite talk radio station. Where are you finding yourself this time of the day? What are you doing? And are you working according to your personal plan? Are you working according to national developmental plan? What are some of the challenges that you are facing? And what are you doing to change that situation? Are we on track? We are already in 2026, deep in 2026, because next week, we are concluding February, and by the time we are a week, we are already that side of August. That is why it's quite very imperative to make sure that we are pragmatic, we are practical, and we do what we say at all fronts of economic development. We are greeting taxi men, we are greeting security guards, police officers, vendors, policymakers, and everybody with good intention, particularly in advancing our economy, in creating employment, in expanding Namibia and interest beyond the borders. And those who are at the front line of the economy, the financier, and also those who are using money wisely, and the security cluster too, because you cannot have the economy running properly without security. Either it's online security, either it's physical security, and everything that affects our bread and butter. And, you know, looking at some of the developments, especially in the context of Namibia, you know, it seems like Namibia is intensifying her cooperation with international partners, and we'll be able to realize that when it comes to, you know, the Minister of Foreign Affairs, or the Minister of Foreign Trade for United Arab Emirates, here in Namibia. And, you know, when you see the guys with white clothes, particularly from the Middle East there, if they come to your country, they mean business. And let us hope that of which was communicated, or, you know, which put us together with international partner will be fruitful. And we are also going to win in that context, because looking at that context, particularly in the communique, it stated that, you know, the investment between Namibia and United Arab Emirates is not, you know, reflecting full potential for both countries, and it seems like this need to be intensifying. And remember that Namibia is one of those countries which are doing quite well in terms of attracting international investors and also international interest. Because if you see development from both sides of the world, you see that either it's EU, either it's our good friend China, that is our good friend United States of America, in other part of the world, they are looking into Namibia. And the question that we are asking ourselves is that, what are we doing for ourselves? What are we doing for ourselves? That's why the conversation for today, especially when we'll be joined by an economist later on, that is Solomon Ipinge, especially looking at Namibia domestic economy. Because today, the central bank, or the Namibia central bank, which is a principal advisor to the government, and is also same time as a reserve of Namibia, you know, has indicated the repo rate that remain at 6.5%, particularly reason being to safeguard the peg between Namibian dollar you know, so South African rand. But the conversation for today will go beyond that. We'll also be looking at what are some of the noted development, especially when it comes to Namibian domestic economy. And also, what have we done so far, particularly when you are in 2026. And also, we'll also be able to look at the reasoning, because in every policy that we see, in every planned policy that we see, there is always a global perspective. There is always a global perspective to say we are planning this policy, for example. And let me say, look at NDP6, for example. When we are planning the policy, we always have a global perspective to say we are subscribing to United Nations Sustainable Development Goals. We come to Africa, you know, Agenda 2063, then we come to Namibia and all these things. And in economic perspective, all the economic outlook, they have to start with what is happening in the world, this geopolitics, and also everything that affects the economy. But the trend that we have been seeing, and also the question that you're asking, is to say, what have we done wrong? Or what lesson can we learn from 2025? Especially indicated that what BON predicted did not work out. And it's not only the responsibility of BON, maybe the responsibility of our business people, our policy makers, and everybody at all to say, what have we done to expand the domestic economic activities? Those are the questions that we need to ask ourselves. Is our economy growing? And somebody may also ask critical questions, particularly compared to other countries, to say, Namibia, we are looking like we are globally positioned, we're well positioned. But how come the domestic economic activities are very slow? How come Zimbabwe is ahead of us? I'm not undermining Zimbabwe, but that is a country that has been under sanction for 20 years. How come IMF predicting Zimbabwe is ahead of us in terms of their domestic economic growth? How come other countries who also faced war, even now in conflicts, but their domestic economic expansion is above us? And you also be able, it's not my word, you also be able to listen to Shotri, because we also have a comparison in terms of prediction, and also in terms of where we are going, especially looking at previous presentation, particularly with the former head of Bank of Namibia in August there. Just a short clip, and also be looking at today's presentation shortly, and also be able to see, to say why Namibia have the slowest domestic economic growth in sub-Saharan Africa, if IMF is saying countries that are developing or are expanding their domestic economy, majority of them are in sub-Saharan Africa. What have we done wrong? What are we doing which is not right? Are we doing what we are saying? And also maybe the question also to ask, to say, what lesson can we learn while we are still at the beginning of 2026 to make sure that when it comes to policy coherence, we are in line? Are we diversifying our economy? And the other question that we should also ask is to say, now, if you compare the speech of the previous head of BON in August there, and also looking at monetary policy position, one of the communicated aspect was uranium still holding us, uranium and gold performance still holding us. Then the question is that what have we done? What lesson have we done? And looking at diamond is losing demand drastically. And also the question is that what are we doing to that industry, either to revive it, or what plan is there also? But those are some of the questions that I'll be able also to ask our economist, or the economist Salomo Ipinge, will be able to join us, particularly after 20 minutes or so, when we're going to discuss this. But beforehand, I just want you to just listen shortly, particularly from the speech of the former head of Bank of Namibia, just 2 minutes. Then you also be able to listen to our current conversation, and also to look at what are we doing. Are we still at the talking stage? And apart from, because it cannot be correct, and we must be very clear, if we are not finding out that we are not doing something right, it cannot be correct that everything we are blaming global political uncertainties. There are things that we are not doing. Maybe you as a listener will also be able to help us to say, maybe there are things that we are not doing. Maybe there are things that we only speak and we are not doing, particularly expanding domestic economies. Because what is interesting is that when Namibian economy last year was predicted to grow by 3%, currently the new chief of Bank of Namibia stated that that number is likely to drop, and the bank is still reviewing that, and the number will be availed once the review is done. And it's really showing, let us ask a lot of questions also to say, regardless of investment in the country last year, regardless of domestic expansion of domestic investment, I mean expansion of foreign direct investment, how come, and also ask yourself a question, how come a country that is number one in Africa in attracting foreign direct investment, particularly in that area of oil and gas and greenfield investment, become the lowest in terms of domestic economic growth? And also maybe also to ask a question of saying, to say, when we are now, because interestingly, global affairs, everything is changing. When you look at the top five producers of uranium, for example, because now uranium is defending us. Uranium and gold, they are holding the line for us, and we are praising them. But remember that there is a lot of things which are happening at the global arena, that Canada now is also positioning itself. And remember, Canada is highest now, it has uranium too, and it's in the top five. And it's also with our good friend China. And remember, when you have a lot of options, that is where you can change the price anytime. And where are we going if that have happened? Where are we going if that have happened? If there are a lot of options, maybe in terms of qualities too, in terms of that aspect. But for now, let us look at what Tade Johannes Kahab had said last year. Then you also look at the current BON chief, that is Mr. Epson Waguta. And we also look at where we are going. And it's quite interesting also to look at this while we have time. Good evening.
Yes, good evening, David.
Yes, how are you?
Fine, thank you. Maybe before you go to the gate of honor,
yeah.
I would love to state something that was also cautions against the Bank of Namibia.
Mm.
Not cautions in the negative, but it was the also urge to get involved in the to expand their mandate, or so to say, in terms of when it comes to economic development.
Mm.
Not only to announce the repo rates and do the regulations and all the other things, but to get involved down on the ground. Because you see, when you talk about real development and real growth, like we have already indicated to you people that yes, informal economy and all these other things contribute more.
Mm.
We also want to see them down there.
On the ground.
And then we ask a question and say, so we also want to see them involved, engaged down there. Let me see that they can play down there. Now we are talking about the restructuring of the commercial bank. They don't even want to restructure. If they go to the manager, whoever comes there, so it's all this. So is that all? Is that what their mandate? Does their mandate limit them to get so much involved because they are the one who leverage the most of the pillars of economy?
One thing also what we have seen is that there is contraction in agriculture sector and the fishing sector, mining too, and manufacturing. Then my question has always been to say, when we are communicating a policy of diversification and ending values, have we started yet, or we are still at the discussion? And also to say, when The government is communicating a policy to say when it comes to agriculture, we are reviving green schemes. Maybe it's here to produce, but how come we are moving slowly, but downward, even compared to our counterpart? I always give an example of Zimbabwe because Zimbabwe has proven itself to be a center of resilience in terms of standing on their own. But it's also a concern to say who own our economy, and are we having these difficult discussions? Who own our economy, and are we respecting maybe our domestic businesses too? Because there is always something, because you know, there must be a problem somewhere, that, and we do not want to admit that there is a very big problem there.
There are challenges, you know, like you always give the example of Zimbabwe.
Mm.
You are not the first one. We usually used to use that example. You know, when the brothers and sisters from Zimbabwe, when they started selling this in the state, you know, those are graduates.
Mm.
And when you look at even on the medical science now, most of the physiotherapy, most of the doctors, when they came here, you know, we can now be treated. You can see the doctor on Sunday, Saturday and Sunday. Usually it used to be a problem. The issue is that I don't know whether it's the career path kind of a challenge, career path, where you know that you need. These are critical areas. These are critical areas, critical skills that we need. You know, the good thing of Zimbabwe, from the time of the Robert Mugabe, that his soul rest in peace, they have invested in education. And it's not only to pump money there, also to realign the kind of skills that you can really give to the people. It doesn't mean that you should just, you understand? There are those who are over-surprised. Like education and nursing and all these other things. But diversify, get that kind of focus, diversify that area into physiotherapy, for example, for our children to go there.
Okay. Let us look at this comparison, and then we can also continue engaging.
So now let's see, I'll wait for the, I just wanted to take a minute or so.
Yeah.
Then we wait for that lecture. And see what we can do. Maybe we can do that later.
All right. Yeah, that is, this is from last year, August, the monetary policy communique. But just a few minutes, then we also compare.
Domestic economic activity expanded during the first half of 2025, albeit at a slower pace compared to the corresponding period in 2024. The expansion primarily reflected improved economic activity in the mining, tourism, wholesale and retail trade, transport and communication sectors, as well as the crop farming and electricity subsectors. Meanwhile, activity in the diamond mining subsector remained weak. Looking ahead, real gross domestic product growth is projected at 3.5% for 2025 and 3.9% for 2026, relative to 3.7% in 2024. This forecast represents downward revisions of 0.3 percentage point for 2025 and 0.1 percentage point for 2026 compared to the April 2025 forecast. The revision to the 2025 growth is largely ascribed to a contraction in primary industries, particularly the livestock subsector, on account of restocking activity. Risk to the domestic outlook remain tilted to the downside, primarily reflecting the impact of global trade policy shifts, depressed international diamond prices, and geopolitical tensions. Domestically, water supply interruptions, especially in coastal towns, could likely weigh on growth prospects. Annual inflation eased to 3.6% on average during the first 7 months of 2025, relative to 4.8% during the same period in 2024. The deceleration is primarily attributed to lower inflation in the categories of housing and alcoholic beverages, augmented by the deflation in the transport category. Since the last MPC meeting, however, inflation stood at 3.5% in July 2025, unchanged compared to the May 2025 print, although it ticked higher to 3.7% in June. Turning to the external sector, Namibia's merchandise trade deficit has narrowed by 28.2% to 12.8 billion Namibian dollars during the first 6 months of 2025, compared to the same period in 2024. The narrower trade deficit was due to a substantial rise in export earnings, predominantly from uranium and gold, compared to the moderate increase in import payments. The stock of international reserves remains adequate, rising to 58.1 billion Namibian dollars at the end of July 2025 from 57.4 billion Namibian dollars at the end of May 2025.
Yeah, that is in short from August last year from a former, Bank of Namibia, chief or head of Bank of Namibia, Governor Kohab. And looking at that, you'll be able also to see that the narrowing of Namibia trade deficit is mostly from the export of uranium. And we also understand that with global changes, Canada being the second highest producer of uranium, they are also intensifying their trade with China. And that should also make us to think that in terms of long term, in terms of the bigger picture, what would happen to the price of, uranium, particularly you are number three. But you now depend on one commodity, which is driving the economy. Once that price falls down, or once there is more option, or once the lifespan of our mind go down, what will we do? Particularly looking at our economic growth, and also the question maybe to say, when we have that competitive advantage compared to other countries, what have we done to make sure that uranium remain? Used differently, and also we add value to it so that we can also increase the return. Because looking at the current Prime Minister of Canada, looking at his speech at the World Economic Forum, and also looking at the trips to China, and also intensifying trade relations, understand that there have been a strong trade agreement between China and Canada, particularly in terms of trade of uranium, particularly on the ground that that uranium will be used for peaceful mean. But looking at where the world is going, especially when China want to take over from US, particularly in terms of economic hegemony, we'll be able to see that I do not want to say it's going to happen this year or next year, but depending on one commodity, it's going to be a very difficult thing. Then the question is that what have we done at home? What have we done? Because that is a question to say, what have we done the whole of last year, especially to improve domestic economic activities? Have the conversation of public-private sector forum brought about any changes? But for now, let us see what was communicated today, particularly with the new head of Bank of Namibia. That is Mr. Ebsen Waguta. And, taking the role of a chief of, or the head of Bank of Namibia, it's quite a very interesting thing. And there's a lot of expectation. And there's always a saying to say, if you want to check the quality of leadership, look at the people around the leader. But seeing that the state being part of the monetary policy committee, I think it's also show some element of trusting in capacity. But
if you've reached that stage in life where you are tired of everything, where each day is just routine, dah yammer me oh. No, seriously, I am genuinely sorry for you, cause you clearly haven't been holodified. Like boring day at the spani, Polanafa your lunch hour with a delicious Polana curry. Chewing through yet another stale sandwich. Polanafy your burger with a little mac and cheese. Tired of chewing the same shandy? Polanafy your munchies with air-fried Polana pasta chips. Come on, life's too short for boring. Polanafy every moment with Pasta Polana, a proud product of Namib Mills.
And I say, if you want to test the quality of a leader, look at the team he is choosing, or look at the team that he's working with. But it's also quite interesting to see that at Monetary Policy Committee, we have new faces, and not new in the financial sector. You have Dr. John Stadler, and also Madam Hervé Philippus. Let's hope their strategic advice also help to steer the Namibian economy, because there is this thing to say game recognize another game, because it's my understanding that the new governor also realized that to go through this difficult journey, you need the big guns, and also let us hope that will be that will be also a positive move. And there's one question which was asked by Shania today. And that question is that how was the vote, particularly in keeping the repo rate? And it was stated that it's unanimous vote, especially maintaining the repo rate at its current standing at 6.5%. But the question is that are we still on economic defense mode, or we are moving? Because there is one thing that we should also look at to say. As far as we have strong institutions that can predict and protect our economy, we have an economy to grow. But when we have an economy to grow, the only question that we should also ask is that, are we playing defense even if we are not scoring goals? Because we need to score goals. We can't just be on a defense mode at the beginning we are not the Newcastle. We must attack and also score goals. And you can only score goals if you expand the domestic economy and also capacitate those who need capacity. Let us listen to the head of Bank of Namibia, Mr. Ebsen Waguta, particularly part of which is speaking about the current domestic economy, and also compare with what happened last year.
To that, people are now taking safety in gold. Zinc prices also remain quite elevated, as you could see the level in February 2026, and this is particularly on account of the limited supply in that industry. Copper prices as well, the demand remained quite high. You could clearly see that the vertical red line that you see is at the time of the last meeting. Now you see that upward trend still moving up in copper. Uranium prices as well are doing relatively quite well. We are benefiting from that because Namibia is one of the countries that is among at least the top five uranium producing countries globally. And clearly, if you see that high price in uranium, it brings some good benefits to our economy. On the other hand, diamond, which is really one of our precious commodity, the price is not doing that well. And the price is under pressure due to the competition from lab-grown diamonds and also the high inventory levels that has been kept in a number of other jurisdictions that are producing diamonds. Crude oil prices, that the reverse, we see a reversal in a downward momentum due to rising new geopolitical tension. At the time of the last meeting, again you see the red vertical line. Prices were almost coming down, but then they started picking up again. Stock market. Clearly, we see that the global stock market has gained the prices has really been improving, or the indices in the stock market have really done quite well. One example that we are showing is S&P index. It fell, attributed to AI-driven disruption, but has since recovered somewhat at its level at the previous MPC setting. The stock market in South Africa as well, we see a robust growth driven particularly by the mining and also the financial sector, and also the fact that there is strong investor confidence that is really building up in our neighboring country, and also the fact that the exchange rate has really gained quite well, and the stability that we see in the exchange rate to some extent is really giving confidence to the South African economy. Inflation. Global headline inflation is estimated to have declined in 2025 compared to 2024, and it is further projected to decline further or to ease in 2026 and 2027. The easing of the inflation is particularly on account of the lower energy prices that we see, as well as the food prices. On monetary policy, monetary policy stances have varied in monitored central banks. We could clearly see there that the US Federal Reserves, the Bank of England, the Bank of Russia, and the Bank of India have lowered their policy rates. The cut seems to be ranging from 25 percentage points. Several other central banks, including South African Reserve Bank, held their rates quite steady. They did not change their policy rate, only with an exception of the Bank of Japan that increased its policy rate during the same period. When it comes now to the domestic economic activity slowed during the first three quarters, as you could clearly see on the chart on your left-hand side, or on your right-hand side, where you are seated. If you look at the other chart, the contribution to the quarterly GDP, we could clearly see that the growth for 2025 of our economy has really been driven by the tertiary sector, as you could clearly see in the green bar, starting from quarter one of 2025, quarter two of 2025, and quarter three of 2025. Clearly, it shows that the tertiary sector has been quite dominant in that. And what are some of the tertiary sectors, categories that have really been driving growth? It's coming from the financial sector services, it's coming from wholesale and retail, it's coming from health and education, and it's coming from communication. Again, the trend that you see there is our previous projection that we had, how the economy is going to fare in 2025 and 2026. That was our previous projection at the last meeting. But those numbers, we are still busy with the revision. Those numbers are likely to change. At the time of the last meeting, we were expecting that growth for 2025 is likely to be around 3%. But based on the new numbers now that we have seen, and also on the trend that you have seen on the high-frequency data, we are likely to fall below that. But that number will be clearly communicated to you in due course. In terms of inflation, the annual headline inflation remains well contained at 3.5% for 2025. That clearly reflects a disinflationary trend or pressure that we see in transport and housing. Most recently, Inflation declined below 3% at 2.9% in January. And that is primarily aided by food inflation. That is again just a projection of inflation that remains steady at 3.5% in 2026 before moderating to 3.4% in 2027. In terms of the monetary policy development or monetary indicators, annual growth in private sector credit extension remains still subdued. That reflects reduced credit uptake by both businesses and households. You could clearly see that the private sector credit has declined to 4.4% compared to the position that we have seen at the time of the last meeting, that was at 5.9%. Business as well slowed down. At the last meeting, the growth of business credit was at 9.5%. Now it slowed down to 6.8%. Similarly, household credit as well remains subdued, and you see the same trend. At the time of the last meeting, the growth of household credit was at 3.4%. Now, at this time, it is standing at 2.7%. When it comes to the external sector, the merchandise trade deficit narrowed by 35.4% to around 25 billion Namibian dollar in 2025. Clearly, these reflect a robust export earnings from uranium and gold. If you look at that table, you could see export and import. In 2025, the level of export from 2024 to 2025 grew by 18.7%. That is quite a phenomenal growth. And that growth of export is largely driven by uranium and by gold. Diamond, clearly, you see that diamond has declined by 20.5%. Look at imports. Imports has only grown marginally by 1.8%. That's why you see an improvement in the external position of our balance of payment. Again, that is just an exposition to show you the growth that we have seen in uranium and in gold. What are the factors that are accounting for that? The green, it stands for the volume growth. That clearly shows that uranium export has benefited quite a lot from the volume growth. The other, like gold export, is not so much about the volume, but they benefited from the improvement in the price. That's why you see the price effect there. The stock of foreign reserve, currently as we speak, it is standing at around 51.9 billion. That is now more or less the position of January. And that is quite a respectable position because it is above the 3 months of import cover, and it remains adequate to sustain the currency peg and also to cover the international financial obligations that the sovereign has with the other jurisdictions. In summary, domestic economic activity slowed in 2025, particularly in agriculture, in fishing, in mining, and in manufacturing sector, which contracted in the first three quarters of 2025. Consequently, the growth outlook for 2025 is now expected to be lower than previously projected. And that is a number that I have just indicated that we are likely to revise that number. Inflation is forecast to remain steady at 3.5% in 2026 before moderating to 3.4% in 2027. That clearly is a reflection of the lower oil and food prices alongside the strong domestic currency. However, the exchange rate volatility and geopolitical tension could push inflation above the projection. So these are some of the factors that we need to monitor.
Yeah, that is what is happening. And you have seen that we are in an economic defense mode where we have the only striker, which is uranium, and the only defender, and the attacker too. Because the trusted left back, which was Diamond, is very tired. It's not performing, slowing every game. And we see how we are going to revive that. And I think Mr. Aguta is the right guy for the job. And it's through that painful situation, maybe we'll be able also to revive the Namibian economy. And the other thing is also, I think it's a matter of economic jargons and also a matter of simplifications to say when you say, for example, private sector credit is subdued to 4.4%, what do you mean? Say private sector credit, you mean the ability of financial institution to support the private sector. And these are the domestic businesses. They are not getting support. They are not getting finance. The problem is finance so they can expand the economy. And maybe the good questions that should be asked with respect is that when, for example, you speak about the financial services business doing well, who is holding Namibia financial services businesses? And maybe the right question also to ask is that who is making money out of Namibia and does not want to invest in Namibia? And what can we do? Not really to say people must be forced to invest, but also to make them want to invest in Namibia. Who is making money out of our country and just live with that money or holding that money somewhere and the money is not working? Because look at it this way, ne? The mining sector is holding us, particularly with uranium. And the same mining sector, which is defending our economy, is contributing quite less in terms of in the GDP than the informal sector. Imagine if you invest money to those people who are already, started a business domestically. Because obviously they have to invest in the country. Is it the fear? But the question that we should also ask is also to say, what did private sector also do to financial institutions? Because when you have private sector that is not complying or private sector that is not returning money, then it also bring a lot of fear to financial institutions, particularly those who are servicing. Now, this will also bring us to the question of saying, now that we have a situation like this to say private sector credit is subdued, is it the aspect of, do we have a reality of financial inclusion that is within BON financial sector transformation strategy? And it's not only BON, it's also the Minister of Finance. If we are already at this point, and what can be done moving forward? And it's a conversation that needs to be expanded. And I believe our economist, because we only have 10 minutes or so, continue expanding this conversation in tomorrow early morning scoop, particularly when we are looking at global uranium mine, global uranium trade, and also see the possibilities of the future. But the question that we should also ask, and this one question which I wanted to ask, but I could not get an opportunity to ask, but it's also a question of, are we in line? Are we still in line with policy coherence? Is NDP 6 practically implemented with the first phase, are we on track? And is 500,000 jobs a reality, looking at that situation? And if it's not a reality, what are we doing to make sure that maybe we end at 400,000? Because it's a role that need to be played, not only by the financial institutions or the bank only, but it's also us to say, do we understand where we are going? Do we understand where the economy is going? Do we understand that we attract more international investors and our economy at home is not growing? Do we understand that we are number one in Africa in terms of attracting, foreign direct investment? And I think this is also proving a point also to say, domestic investment should be the way. Because if you look properly, especially with global analysis of the economies, to say most of the countries, they have challenges of debt servicing. I like giving an example of Malawi, to say Malawi is living on aid, unless they have improved, to say it's I want to find a better way to say it's on life support economically. But we want to find ourselves in those situations too. And what is the way forward? The way forward, and in my perspective, is only doing what we say, because we have said a lot of good things. We have spoke about supporting private sector. We have spoke about policy uncertainty. We have studied in the report on what needs to be done in informal sector. We have also seen the private sector came together with the public sector last year and analyzed all those things. We have committees. But why are we studying? We have all the textbooks, but the results are not what we have planned for. Is there something that we are still diplomatic with each other and we are not telling each other the truth on how we run our own economy? Or is it yet to come? Because it's high time that we find a better way of communicating, and we also find a better way of calling each other. To say, no, David, the financial communication that you are giving is not right. This is the right amount. Or private sector, I think you have a problem this way. This is where we meet each other. Because the world is not going to wait for us. I've seen United Arab Emirates is here, and they are here to do business, and they are here to win. But the question is that, are we negotiating to win too? Because if you look at the volume of money coming into Namibia and the volume of money circulating in Namibia, then you start to understand that something, somewhere, somehow, we are not catching up. If you look at analysis of what we need to do and what we are doing, at the end of the day, there's always an aspect of global uncertainty. So if we have to say we could have grown, but because of trade war, because of the war between Ukraine and Russia, or because of Goa was pulled out and now is in, can we also come to the point of what we did not do? Because there is always something that we did not do right, and it's only when we fix that problem then we can come and say, no, we spoke about economic diversification, we are still at pit to pot strategy. We spoke about investing in agriculture. Our green schemes, maybe they are affected by climate change. They are still not giving us, there's still no data on what was produced into those green schemes. Enough data. But let's hope 2026, because it's a good start, especially not only to say difficult situation made strong people, but it's a good start, particularly with, the new head of BON. And we hope we give him strength to drive this economy. And also, maybe also one of the things, apart from continuity of the tenure, to have a very clear strategy, because there is this thing to say, although institutional principles might maintain or might stay the same, every leader has a vision. Every leader has a vision. And particularly leaders who are groomed through institutions, they understand the limits which they had before they got to that position. Now is the time to shine. And also maybe cooperation between institutions, to say, why are we preaching collaboration and we are not collaborating? Because if you look at the starting note, we are not starting on a good pace, and doesn't mean that we are going to be here we are not starting on a good pace forever. Maybe it's a time to reflect. But just before we conclude, I want you to listen to a well-known Namibian economist and is now a member of Monetary Policy Committee. That is Dr. John Stater. He's a former economic advisor to the president of Namibia, the late Dr. Genkop. May his soul rest in peace. And he's known to be a chief architect of Harambe. The analysts used to say that. And at some point, he was also a CEO of Development Bank of DBN, Development Bank of Namibia. But on being part of the monetary policy, let's hope we'll be able to bring perspective on that ground. But let's hear from what he has to say yesterday, particularly giving his thought on Namibia. Current economy, particularly looking at today's announcement of, the repo rates.
Liberty to respond to any of the questions that has been raised, and possibly in addition, say that at a point like this, that potentially could be one or two things in terms of the monetary policy preparation that you are thinking about.
Well, thank you, Governor. I must say all the questions have been so adequately answered, so I don't know how I can come in. But let me just underscore the imperative of growth. I think the key challenge that Namibia right now has is growth. We have seen growth is very subdued. In fact, we are lagging behind sub-Saharan Africa when it comes to growth. Sub-Saharan African growth is about 4% and above 4%. And there are a number of countries in sub-Saharan Africa that's growing actually above 6-7%. If you look at some of the fastest growing economies in the world, a lot of them are sitting right here in Africa. But we are not in that among those fastest growing economies. So what's important is not only the sources of growth. What's important is that we must have sustainable growth. Even if it comes from a single source, but if it's sustainable over 15, 20-year period of time, it will have knock-on effects on other sectors. And this is what will pull us out and what will create jobs. Take, for example, with the potential oil discoveries. Yeah? If an oil company comes in, Total, they have a view of developing 15 to 20 to 25 years. So they... This is where actually you can get a lot of benefits. So we have to grow. I want to touch also on the savings pool that we have. So right now the challenge in Namibia is actually less a funding challenge. It's more, as Helgi said, finding a home. A good example is the GIPF that has actually gone beyond the call of duty, and it has developed so many asset managers, but have alternative investments. And those alternative investments are really struggling to perform. We have private equity firms that are chasing for a single project. So what's important here, that coming back maybe also to the credit side, is also good ideas that can be funded. And part of the good ideas where we can give support from a policy perspective is through project preparation. Because, for example, when I was at the Development Bank, often projects would come, but then they are not sufficiently prepared. There will be a feasibility study, but you need more than a feasibility study. You need more than an idea to get the funding.
Yeah, that was it for today. Let us look at commercial break, then we hand over to Mtima team. Bye-bye for now. See you around.